Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our continuing study of Paul's epistle to the church at Ephesus. And in light of our studies of the whole armor of God, we now consider Ephesians 6:18 with this message titled, Praying and Watching. If you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter by U.S. Postal, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now we begin our study, praying and watching. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and this is part 1 of 2.
All right, you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. We've had a good time fellowshipping, singing, praying. And we just ask you bless our time in your word. Lord, if everybody has the right attitude, we're going to have a good time studying this book, and we just thank you for your Holy Spirit and just ask you help us to focus and to allow the Holy Spirit to minister through this infallible word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, as I said, Ephesians 6:18, we're titling this message, Praying and Watching. Praying and Watching. Verse 18, if you will, read that with me. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. Amen. The idea behind this instruction in prayer is fighting.
Yeah. Amen.
Now I know that's going to strike some of you as funny, because the last thing on the mind of most Christians these days is fighting.
Yeah.
What most Christians are about is, well, I've often said, they should just cut to the chase with a lot of these praise songs they sing in churches. They ought to just get up there and sing, me, 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 me.
Yeah. That's right.
Because that's what it's all about. And yeah, he's already come up with the second verse. I. But how many of you are aware of this? I'm not sure how many of you are. You aware of this? We're in a fight.
Amen.
How many of you been to a funeral? I've been to a few funerals and heard the preacher say that the person before us has fought the good fight. And you're thinking, baloney.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say it out loud at a funeral. I have some respect. But I'm thinking it. It's a good thing I don't have one of those, what they call that, Tourette's, where you just blurt things out. Baloney! I've met very few people, and I'm talking Christians. I've met very few people fighting the good fight.
Amen.
And you know what they think? To them, the fight is all about me, me, me. It's just a battle for them to even maintain some kind of Christian example, let alone to actually be battling. And we've talked about this. We studied the whole armor of God, and there's a reason why we're given the armor. It's to fight.
Amen.
I mean, some of it's defensive, but we studied the girdle of truth, and yes, that's defensive. The girdle is defensive, but then you have the breastplate, and that's defensive. I mean, it's to keep you from suffering. Then you have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. We saw that is having confidence to stand, but it also puts you in the position to do battle.
Yeah, amen.
Now, a lot of sports, and one of them is boxing, for example, but in football, and in baseball and in other sporting events, it's just like war. I can tell you, I won't take time to tell you in every sport what exactly it means, but in all those, your footing is a make or break. A lot of quarterbacks have arms where they can throw, and the Ohio State Buckeyes have had a couple of these, where they can throw 70 yards down the field, but they're not accurate and they're not successful because they don't plant their feet and they don't throw with their feet planted correctly.
Yeah.
And a lot of interceptions in football are thrown where the guy's up on one and doing this.
Yeah.
Because he loses his control and accuracy and speed. It's all about the footing. Same thing's true in the Christian life. You got to have your footing. The shield of faith. Now that actually can work as a mostly as defensive as well. But then you have the helmet of salvation. And then you have the sword of the Spirit we studied last week. And the sword of the Spirit is offensive weapon.
Amen.
It's to get... This picture in the flesh of what a soldier looks like. In the spirit, you got to have it all on.
Uh-huh.
And that includes the sword, where you're doing battle. You know, go back to Matthew 4, you read about Jesus in the wilderness doing battle with Satan. And when he did battle, he used the sword.
Amen.
He responded by, "It is written." And then we read where in Revelation 19... I mean, there's all kinds of places I can go with this, but I'll just go down to the end of the book. Revelation 19, when Jesus returns on a white horse, it is a sword that proceeds out of his mouth, and he destroys his enemies.
Amen.
So it's the sword. It's offensive. And so we read, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. How does that work in this battle, in this fight? It says, in watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer, to begin with, is the equivalent to military communications.
Amen.
If you don't know anything about history and I got a friend up here. It's a little bug, Martha. Don't be sitting there. You fall asleep with your mouth open, you're liable to get a present. Military communications has been the decisive factor in battles and wars. And there's examples in all the wars. All the wars, if you study them, you'll find that because of a lack of communication breakdown, used to be what they'd do is they'd go and they'd cut wires so there couldn't be communication. And now they're jamming signals to keep their from having communication. Because that's what makes or breaks. How many of you know Stonewall Jackson?
Amen.
I mean, he died trying to go out and get a look at what was out there, and because of a lack of communication, he was shot by his own man.
Yeah.
Boy, there's a message. I could preach on that, couldn't I?
Amen.
Friendly fire, Christians shooting each other, and a lot of it has to do with communication breakdown.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Well, the same thing's true with your relationship with the Lord. You'd better have good communication with the Lord. If you don't, this is the kind of thing, this is where you'll go. This is just one example I'm going to show you. This fella, he prayed, but there was a communication breakdown.
Yeah.
Title of his book that he wrote as a result of his newfound relationship with the Lord, he says, quote, this is the title of the book, "There are no mansions in heaven."
Oops.
All right, see, what you just did right there is, that's called discernment.
Uh-huh.
That may be obvious, but what you just did is called discernment. That's all there is to discernment.
Amen.
What? You know what the Bible says, amen?
Amen.
And what does that title there say?
Yeah.
Contradicts your Bible. Unless you're using a new version.
Yeah.
Was it changed in the new version?
Oh dear.
First, I'm going to get to that, but first I want to show you his story. This fellow's named Stan Osterbauer was a U.S. Navy photographer assigned to the flight deck of the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise. That's the Navy, not Star Trek. I knew that's... Everybody's going to light up over USS Enterprise. The ship erupted in explosions and fire. He was a hardened atheist at the time, but as he watched men dying around him, for some reason he instinctively whispered a prayer and said, "God, whose name I do not know, if I survive this, I will seek you." At that very moment, God answered. Literally, he claims. He heard the three words above the explosions, "I am here." The God who spoke to him on that burning flight deck continued to speak. Out of that tumultuous background came his first book, "There Are No Mansions in Heaven." End quote. That's what's going to happen if you listen to voices in your head instead of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the truth.
Shouldn't that be small G up there?
Yeah. Amen. Our thoughts, and some folks have not thought their whole lives, and when they get saved, they start to think, and they think, "Who is that?" That's actually you. It's called your conscience. Amen.
Amen.
And God speaks through His Word.
Amen.
In your conscience. But your thoughts or those voices you're hearing must conform to God's Word, not change it.
Amen.
And what did He do? He's hearing a voice that's changing the Word of God. King James Bible in John 14:2 says, "In my Father's house are what?" Okay, well, if you're using the NIV, it says, "My Father's house has many rooms." You get your own bedroom in heaven, amen? Ain't that great? I hope it comes with a TV. Because I know the TV is going to be great in heaven, amen? It's just ridiculous. And the ESV has become the most popular right now. "In my Father's house are many rooms." You get a room. Hope it's furnished.
Is it a jail cell
or
a room?
Yeah. A jail cell is a room. Amen.
Especially if you pray at the judgment seat, then you really get a jail cell.
There's a foul spirit behind these new versions. I just want to tell you.
Amen.
I could go into the text coming from the Vatican, which is a hellhole.
Amen.
I could go into the translators, many of whom aren't even saved, and a lot of them are sodomites. I could go into their theology where they do not believe the Word of God, don't believe the doctrines of Christianity, and they pervert the Bible on purpose because of that. I could go into the fact that they're all copyrighted because the love of money is the root of all evil, and that's what's behind the new versions.
Amen.
So we speak in prayer to the Lord. He speaks to us by His Word.
Amen.
I'm not saying you're going to be out. You don't always have to have a Bible open to hear from God. But when you hear something, if it's God, it's according to this book.
Amen.
It's according to His Word.
Amen.
So it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And it's important to note, obviously, supplication is a type of prayer, but there's a reason why I used a separate word there. Prayer, to begin with, is what we said, general communications.
Yeah.
That prayer is any time you talk to God.
Amen.
And He can sometimes just talk to Him. You don't even have to have a, "Lord, I really don't have any needs right now that I can think of, and I've lifted up my friends and my loved ones, but I just want to thank You.
Amen.
Thank You for this sunlight. Thank You for the pretty clouds. Thank You for the home You blessed me with. Thank You for my wonderful wife. Thank You for all the wonderful food she cooks. Thank You for our little puppy. Thank You for Stephen and Mariah and Charlie and Olivia. And of course, the grandbabies, Caroline and Samuel and Gloria and Lydia." I think that's an age order. See that? I just spent how much time right there? That's prayer. I've had some people come up to me sometimes and say, I don't have anything to say. I don't know what to pray about. I said, well, you're in a pathetic shape.
You don't have anything to thank God for?
Yeah.
Count your blessings, name them one by one.
Yeah.
You've heard that before.
Right.
It's not just a song. We can do that.
Amen.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Because, you know, I'm guilty of this. I'll tell you right now. I pray, but so many times I catch myself, I'm always asking for stuff.
Amen.
And if my kids did that to me, it would drive me crazy. I mean, if every time Mariah came up to me, "Hey, Dad, would you mind if I..." Thankfully, Mariah comes up to me sometimes and just says, "How you doing, old man?" And we just have conversations about stuff. And I'm glad, I'm thankful for that. And that's the way we can talk to God. General communications. But then the word supplications means imploring requests. Imploring requests. That means it's not, by the way, just about what you need. I mean, I hope and pray that you think of this ministry. And you think, "Lord, I pray about that evangelistic outreach that's coming up.
Amen.
And I pray everybody who can make it can be there and we can get out there and preach the gospel.
Amen.
I pray for the radio program. The one on locally that all these people who are going to all these bad churches will tune in anyway and learn the Word of God.
Amen.
I pray for the internet radio station. It can reach every country on the face of the earth. I just pray, Lord, that people will tune in. I pray for the website itself and people download those messages from Sermon Audio. I pray for Sister So-and-so. And she's got unsaved. I pray for Brother So-and-so." See how that goes? It's not hard to have a prayer life. But you know what the problem is? Most people, the problem is interruptions, distractions, not able to turn off the boob tube, not able to turn off the internet, not able to turn off this and that. And folks, I have to fight that same battle. I'm right there with you.
Amen.
But there's times where I think, you know what? I need to stop what I'm doing. And it's just a thing of being sensitive to your relationship, your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Jesus commended His love toward you, and that while you were yet sinners, He died for you. Gave it all for you. Shed His blood.
Amen.
You don't earn anything, but don't you think we should be grateful enough to give something back?
Amen.
And the first thing would be time with Him. Time in prayer. Time in His Word. Time telling other people what Jesus has done. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the what? Come on, you're not paying attention. Get up here.
Amen.
See, so I heard you. That's how your father would talk to you. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not your father. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the what?
Spirit.
Spirit. Now, I want to tell you right now, most Christians couldn't tell me what that means. And sadly, the answer a lot of them would give is not really biblical.
Yeah.
This is not the Spirit. Sorry. How many of you have seen that before? Some of you have been to churches like that? Some of you have friends and family who go to churches like that? Some of you have seen TV churches like that? Looks like a headbanger, a metal concert. Now, you don't find anything like that in the Bible. And there's probably a dozen people speaking in tongues right now in that service without any interpretation, out of any sense. Paul said, you know, an unsaved man walk in that and think you're all nuts. A saved person would walk in there and say, you are nuts. Yeah, that's right. But that's not what it means to be in the Spirit. What people do is they get into the emotions and get into the hype and get all pumped up. And I mean, it can probably be fun. It could also be dangerous. Could you see some of us running the aisle and you know, they'd be calling the ambulance, 911. Mm-hmm. And they'd be saying, you again? But how do you do things in the Spirit then, preacher? That's a good question. It's one I asked through the 90s and got some dumb answers, and I was confused a lot of the time. Even the people who aren't in the speaking in tongues things, their holiness and people like that, they get you to think that when you're in the Spirit, it's like you lose control. The Bible says the opposite. Amen. When the Spirit's in control, there is self-control. Amen. You don't lose control. And what you just saw is not the same as this Spirit. Again, what do we say? Everything's by the Word of God, right? Amen. We read in the last chapter, Ephesians 5:9. See, this is why expository preaching. A lot of churches don't talk about this stuff because they skip and hop through the Bible like it's a cookbook. God wrote it verse by verse. You should read it verse by verse, and we should teach it verse by verse. And we'll have a topical once in a while to help us in our study of the verse by verse. But we didn't skip this, but a lot of churches do. Yeah. And it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. There's nothing about emotions, nothing about losing control, nothing about barking like a dog, nothing about banging your head like you're at a KISS concert. Nothing about writhing and foaming at the mouth and speaking in gibberish and calling it tongues and none of that stuff. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. With prayer, listen to this, with prayer and clarity and soberness and assurance, then we watch. You see, you're not watching if you're not watching with prayer. You're not watching if you don't have clarity of mind. You're not watching if you're not sober. And you just think about, sometimes, I know this is going to sound funny, but I think about the Lord. He is so long-suffering. And He puts up with so much stupid stuff. Amen. Today, folks, today, on this day right today, into the millions of people are going to be talking to the Lord and saying, calling it tongues, no interpreter, and it's gibberish. Now think about what God's about to be doing up there in heaven, just shaking His head. You know, I saved you, gave you my Spirit, and gave you a book, and you're still doing that stuff. And you wonder why Christians are so clueless and such a wreck, a train wreck. They don't have the solid rock of the Word of God, and they're all about emotions and all this stuff. They go to church. They can go to this church. It actually used to be a Pentecostal church here. And they could go to the church that and have all that stuff and not teach the Bible. They go there 40 years and never learn the Bible. And then when they go home, they don't have a desire for the Word of God. What they have a desire for more of that stuff. So they go into their prayer closet. And they do more of that gibberish. Right. And that's why you've got little baby Christians who have been saved for decades. They're still walking around in their diapers, still sucking their thumbs, still totally unable to live the way and witness the way God wants them to. It says, and watching thereunto. And again, I hope if you think I'm picking on you this morning, it's just all I got to say is get right. Mm-hmm. I'm not picking on anybody this morning. But if you're not praying and you're not in supplication and you're not doing it with clarity and soberness, and if you're not watching, You're not in the battle.
Yeah.
You're not in the fight. The Bible says that's what it means to fight, to be in the battle. Watching thereunto, few believers obey that admonition to watch. And here's why. Because it takes effort. You know what some people do? We showed the thing, I won't mention it for those who weren't here. There's a little comic thing I showed where it showed a bunch of people gathering at the gate of heaven. And the fella who's checking for names, and he says, for those of you who watched church on TV, you will not be allowed into heaven, but you can watch it on TV. That would be justice. All the Christians who sit it out, and let me tell you something, it is an exception that a Christian who doesn't take part in a local church fellowship, it's an exception that they do anything for the Lord. And there's some who study, and some who pray, and some who witness. There is. And most of those, listen close, those are people who would go to church if there was one close. That's the kind of person. But people who live within driving distance of this church and know it's here and don't attend, I guarantee if you followed them around everything, you wouldn't find them in the Word, you wouldn't find them in prayer, and you wouldn't find them witnessing. There's a couple of people that I believe are, and they're shut-ins. They would be here if they could. But I'm just telling you, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen? It takes effort. To be in the battle is to take effort. And boy, if you're serious about it, I mean, you put yourself through boot camp.
Yeah.
If you're serious about it, you get in the Word even when you don't feel like it.
Amen.
Pray even when you don't feel like it. I mean, there are people going through serious things. You think it really matters whether you feel like it or not? You ought to be praying for them. Amen?
Amen.
It takes effort. You're saved by grace.
Amen.
But then you're told to be a workman.
Yep.
That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman.
Amen.
Some of the people, by the way, that work the hardest are shut-ins I was talking about. And I used to visit this lady who couldn't get out of her house. But man, she had a notebook and her Bible. And that's about all she needed other than food and to go, you know, clean up once a day. And she had her Bible and her notebook. And she'd read the Word and read the Word. And then she had her notebook filled with names and requests of prayer. And she'd go back and forth in between talking to her kids and her grandkids on the phone. Are they having a visit or whatever? In between that, she's in the Word and in that notebook. And you know what she also had? She'd love to show this. She'd say, "Sit down, I want to show you this." And I'd sit real close to her. She'd open it up and she'd show me the check marks. You know what the check marks were? Answers. You know why she got answers? She asked. You ain't going to get no answers if you're not asking. Amen. That's the Bible.
The solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.